Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not perhaps the best person to be in this position at our introductory meeting today. I'm very honoured to be asked to say a few words. Unlike Professor Ellegaard, my experience is that the computer is a tyrant rather than a slave. And I'd like to just explain why I feel very pleased to be here, as if I'm celebrating two separate things. First of all, I'm celebrating what I think is likely to prove a landmark in computer corpus studies in the world today. And therefore, I want to use these few minutes to talk about what I consider to be the prospects for future work in corpus work, and in particular, the prospects for cooperation which exist. This is the first time that we've had this sort of meeting in which so many people have been working in their own respective corners of the world on very parallel lines, have last been able to come together and discover exactly how their methods are able to cooperate with one another. So that is an important step forward, and I want to talk about how I personally hope that this sort of cooperation will continue. This will be a sort of personal statement, but in looking at some of the papers which have been circulated in advance of this symposium, I find that there are echoes, my own sentiments, in what other people have written and been working on. And that's one cause for celebration. The other cause for celebration is a much more personal one, because, as I said, I have my experiences of the computer as a tyrant, and I'd just like to elaborate on this. About 7 or 8 years ago, I wrote to Nelson Francis, who at that time had already completed his bound corpus, and I said, wouldn't it be a jolly good idea if somebody did a parallel corpus for British English to match his bound corpus of American English? Of course, we already had the Survey of English Usage, but there seemed to be some reason for wanting to extend the computerization of corpuses, and so it seemed to be an excellent idea in theory to produce a matching computer corpus, and so that's what we started to work on at Lancaster. And I remember Nelson Francis was extremely friendly and helpful. He gave us all the information so that we could learn from his work, and the last thing he said was, rather you than me. I wouldn't do it myself, but I send you my best wishes. Well, as the years went by, I really felt the force of those good wishes that Nelson had handed on to me. We didn't get very much money at Lancaster, and we had all kinds of problems with copyright, I don't know what else. I won't go into the whole sad saga. Eventually, we came to more or less a full stop with so 750,000 words of the million done, and everything was in a rather sorry state. And felt like Sisyphus pushing his boulder up the hill, except I never even got it near the top. It was always stuck about halfway. And so this was my experience. And then the great breakthrough, from my point of view, was when Dr. Stig Johansson, who's organized this symposium, came to me as an angel from heaven and said, I would like to take over the completion of this corpus. And so, of course, you know the remainder of the story. He was able to get the cooperation of the Norwegian Research Council and use the very excellent facilities here of the Centre for Computing and Humanities. And so I have a personal and very strong debt of gratitude to Bergen and to Norway in general on this question of computer corpuses. And so let us now think a little more about the prospects of cooperation. First of all, we might talk about the setting up of corpuses themselves, computer corpuses, looking at the collection of people who are here today and who have submitted papers in advance to symposium, it looks as if altogether we are dealing with 4 to 5 million words of English end to end. If we put them all together, all the little corpuses or large corpuses or medium-sized corpuses which we are working with in our respective research. And of course, as has already been pointed out, this is quite a small amount, really, when you want to use corpuses for many of the more detailed aspects of linguistic study in English. I think it was John Sinclair who suggested, for example, that to get anywhere with lexical studies, one would need a corpus of 20 million words. But even so, this is quite a remarkable step forward, that we now have these corpuses, and the establishment of the International Computer Archive of Modern English means, with the work of Stig Johansson and his colleagues, that we can now hope to be able to have access to our colleagues' work in this, and also possibly, well, and certainly in most cases, we will have access to their corpuses. So it means that collectively this is now becoming a much more valid enterprise than it was when Randolph Quirk and Nelson Sanchez started their pioneering work. But even so, we might perhaps ourselves be regarded in 20 years' time as pioneers dealing almost in Stone Age computer technology. I don't really know how things will look from 20 years' time, but certainly one wonders whether we are not just facing an explosion in the availability of corpuses. One or two reasons for this. First of all, whereas those of us who've been building up corpuses have had to laboriously punch our stuff word by word into the machine, or else get an army of slaves to punch things word by word, if we're lucky, into the machine, we've still been in this stage that the actual blockage in establishing computer corpus is simply the problem of input, how to get the wretched stuff in there in the machine. But of course there are possibilities for getting around this. There are the production of vast quantities of printed material as a byproduct of the printing process in machine-readable form. Perhaps in 20 years' time this will have been harnessed so that our 4 million to 5 million words will look a rather puny collection of samples of English in retrospect. Secondly, another thing which people are always talking about, the use of optical scanning so that the computer itself can read text itself into the machine. This again is something which in some areas is already in operation, but the great breakthrough might well be just around the corner. In other words, we might actually just simply be able to ask the computer to read whole volumes, and it will be able to do so and store its own corpus. These are possibilities which one doesn't quite know how accessible these things will become, but one suspects that at least this is likely to be around the corner. And so there arises the possibility of specialized corpora. These have already been established in certain fields. Of course, we already have specialized corpora in the sense that we have both corpuses of written English and corpuses of spoken English. The survey of spoken English, which Jan Svartvik is working on at Lund, has already made a very important step in putting into the computer a large body of spoken English material from the survey of English usage. Well, that is always, I'm afraid, likely to be the great problem, that although in the future we may have untold quantities of written text available in the computer, there's always the problem of how to get the spoken stuff into it. But so even here in Jan Svartvik's project at Lund, we have a very important stage, and which, of course, is being imitated in other places. And then, of course, there's specialised corpora in the sense that we now have national varieties. We have comparison between the Brown University corpus, and the British English corpus. I'm sure that this, again, is something that will be extended further. We also have the possibility of specialised corpora for such topics as socio-linguistic research, functional varieties, scientific English corpora, and so on. This is the direction in which I would hope things will develop in the future. We have in the work of Klaus Ferck in Copenhagen the interesting idea of a corpus of, I won't call it erroneous English, but a corpus of foreigners' English for the purposes of error analysis. So this possibility of extending the database in all kinds of directions is something which I think we can look forward to developing further, perhaps even beyond our dreams at the present time. Now, that's one area, obviously, in which cooperation, one can expect, will develop and increase. There is one problem which arises in this area, which is some kind of standardization of format, of standards, of coding, and so on. I hope this is one of the things which, in a broader sense, this question of standardization, we will be able to discuss in this symposium, or will be one of the offshoots, perhaps, of this symposium. Because we have at least some well-tried formats for representing written text in the computer and representing spoken material. So we already have got some very well-established standards of coding. And it would be nice to build on this in the future. I think perhaps standardization is a dangerous term to use. I would wish I could find some word which wasn't quite so absolute as standardization. Perhaps I can use the term baseline standardization. That is to say, one has some certain common practices which we can agree to use, although for different purposes one corpus will be very detailed, for other purposes another corpus will be less detailed. One corpus will be able to specialise in marking features of this kind of spoken English, another corpus will not need to be so detailed, and so on. We'll obviously have this degree of variation, which is only, of course, very desirable, given that different corpuses will be used for different purposes. And now I want to say a few words about analysed corpuses. What I've been talking about so far are what we might call raw corpuses or bare corpuses, corpuses that are simply stored in the computer in their graphic form, if they're written text, or in their phonological form. Perhaps one thinks of the Survey of Spoken English here as blazing a trail in including features of intonation, stress, and so on in a computer corpus. But now thinking not of raw corpuses, but of corpuses which are analysed in the machine. I'd like here to make a distinction between a corpus as a research facility and a corpus which is definitely custom-built for a particular kind of purpose. I think most of us here are probably mainly interested in building up a corpus as a research facility, as a great resource which can be used not only by ourselves, but by scholars in the future, by scholars in other parts of the world, and so on. And we have a corpus as a general purpose research facility. One of the problems of getting money for this sort of work is that people ask you what you're going to use it for, and you can never give absolutely satisfactory answers, because I always feel I have to say, well, I'm sure that this corpus is going to be used for untold purposes which I have never even dreamt of. And certainly I think that Nelson Francis will confirm that this is true of the Brown corpus, that it has been used for great varieties of purposes which we are not able to plan in advance. And so therefore, if we're going to have an analysed corpus, in general it has to be analysed in such a form that it is going to facilitate research, not just by ourselves, but by other people. So what is the best way to analyse corpuses for this purpose? Well, there are various stages of this. What we're going to be talking about in this symposium is the tagging, grammatical tagging of corpuses, which can be thought of as existing on a number of different stages. First of all, we have word tagging, which assigns to every word in the corpus some grammatical category. This, I suppose, is the foundation on which other things can develop. We can, in addition to word tagging, we can undertake parsing in a more general sense of assigning grammatical labels to larger constituents than words, and in fact producing a fully parsed corpus. We can also assign functional labels. A number of people who are here today will be discussing their work in this direction. That is to say, we're not just interested in assigning things to categories like noun phrases, but also recognising subjects, verbs, objects, and so on, of sentences. So these are natural developments. The problem which I think a lot of sceptics come across here is they say, well, how on earth can you agree on some common system of tagging that is going to be useful not only for yourself, but for somebody else? Everybody knows that in every 2 or 3 years, linguistic theory advances or evolves, in whatever term you like to use, so that what was current practice of analysis in 1974 is not the current practice of analysis in 1977, and so on. And therefore, there's a danger that whatever system of analysis you arrive at, it will tend to date rather quickly, or perhaps it's even difficult to arrive at some sort of consensus analysis that can be used for a corpus as a research facility. Well, I think that is too pessimistic a view to take, and what has encouraged me a great deal, in fact, is looking at the papers which have been circulated for this symposium. I find that there's a remarkable amount of convergence between the different types of analysis which people have been using. What we mostly seem to be gravitating towards is what Jan Svartvik describes as a fairly traditional surface structure analysis, or, if you like, an acceptance that certain grammatical terms have a fairly well-agreed meaning. We all roughly know what a noun is. We all roughly know what an auxiliary verb is. We all roughly know even what a noun phrase is, what a subject is, what a verb is, and what an object is. So although we may differ in detail, most of the people who have been working in this area seem to have, in their respective corners of the world, hit on a baseline grammatical analysis. It can be quite sophisticated, and I shall be looking forward to hearing more in the symposium about the work that has been going on at Brown University, Professors Henry Kutra and Nelson Francis, with their automatic grammatical tagging program. Well, when we say automatic, perhaps we ought to say semi-automatic, but at least it is a large stage towards getting the computer itself to decide what is a noun, what is a verb, what is a plural noun, what is a this kind of word or that kind of word. And, of course, it's quite sophisticated also in the sense that it deals with 70-odd different grammatical categories. So when we say semi-automatic, we mean that we can not only... We can actually get the computer to recognize what grammatical categories a word belongs to. And I think it's important here to recognize the necessary inbuilt limitations of using the computer for this purpose. When I was in America in the 1960s, an awful lot of work was being done. A lot of money was being poured into projects vaguely connected with machine translation. Automatic syntactic analysis was one of the first stages, as it were, towards full machine translation. And everybody was working with great zeal on these various computational linguistic projects. Unfortunately, most of these projects seem to have quietly gone into oblivion because it was found that, in a sense, machine translation was a theoretically impossible task. And at that stage, a lot of people talked about, are you a 95% man or are you a 100% man? Are you trying to do a complete and perfect theoretical model of translation process or of the automatic analysis process such that you hope that you can simply press a button and the computer will do the rest? Or are you trying to gradually inch your way closer to the ideal? Are you going to hope to get a 95% working program which will do the majority of the task, which will still leave a certain amount of work for the manual analysis by the human researcher? Well, I think that was a lot of that was simply brave talk at a time when people were merely hoping that something like a 95% thing could be produced, and other people were hoping even more unrealistically that a 100% thing could be produced. But at least at Brown they have got a 77% thing produced already and applied to a whole corpus of 1 million words, which seems to me not quite beyond belief, but very nearly so. And so I think that that this is the direction, again, which we will hope to make improvements and work towards, if not 100%, at least a 95% program. And what sort of direction will this work go? I think that there's, again, an awful lot of interest to be developed in a term which crops up in one or other paper of the contributors to this symposium, interactive programming, heuristic programming, semi-automatic programming. In other words, cooperation between man and machine, such that the machine will do its bit and man will do the rest. And this was an interactive process whereby the computer learns itself how to improve its own performance in the task of grammatical analysis or grammatical tagging. This is something I'll be interested to hear more about in these next 3 days, and which I hope will see further developments in the future. But of course, word tagging is only one stage, but it's an important stage. It's, in a sense, it breaks the back of the whole problem of grammatical parsing, so that if we can work towards a program, a tagging program, we can, by that very means, get much closer to semi-automatic or automatic parsing of large corpora. And so, once we have got this sort of facility working on a cooperative basis, we can hope further still that we can then not only apply it to one corpus, but we can apply it to many, many different corpuses. I'm not underestimating in any sense the human labour involved in all these projects, but I think that perhaps as time goes on, the human element will decrease and the element which the machine can do will increase. So this again is something which I hope to see progress in the next 20 years. I feel very much like our previous two speakers that it's really a lifetime's business in which one looks forward to the fruits of the third generation being born to the grandchildren of the fourth generation. But this is very much an area in which one feels one must take a long-term view. Well, I think perhaps I've talked enough about the future, because of course it's very easy to talk about the future when one ignores the problems of the present. But I'd very much like to pay tribute, particularly from my own point of view, but I'm sure on behalf of the other participants in this symposium, to the people here in Bergen, to the Centre for Computer Research and Humanities. And I think also we owe debt not only to Bergen and to Stig Johansen in Oslo, but also to the enlightened work of the enlightened promises of the Norwegian Research Council that finds this sort of work on a foreign language worthwhile, when I must say that the native speakers of that foreign language, such as myself, have been singularly unsuccessful in persuading their government that such work is worthwhile. So I think I am very grateful indeed to the organisers of this symposium and all the authorities and workers who have made it possible. Thank you very much.